It's that time again on a Friday when AM Live presents another update from the coalface with Martin Creamer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. A very good morning to you, Martin.
And to you, Kalani.
A new fluorspar startup is the third mining company to nail its beneficiation colors firmly to its business mast. What is this, Martin?
You know, politicians have been pleading for long now, beneficiate, add value, and often it's been falling on deaf ears. But you see a lot of these startups, and we've had three recently, just going for the idea of beneficiation, not just mining. Now, South Africans don't know much about fluorspar, but there's a lot to know about it because it really spreads into our daily life. You know, toothpaste, it's in the medicines, it's in refrigerants, it's all over the place. And we've got the biggest reserves of fluorspar in the world. You know, we're bigger than Mexico, we're bigger than China. So suddenly this startup, Sepfluor, which is part of Sepalco, which is about 40% black shareholding, you know, they've moved in strongly into this fluorspar arena, and they've opened up right next to a Spanish-owned mine, because in South Africa, you'll find the foreigners are mining our five fluorspar mines. You know, the Spanish have got the biggest with Vergenoeg. The English have got Buffalo and Witkop. We've even got the Kazakhstanis in there, Doornkop. So South Africans now saying, look, let's not only play in this mining market, which is about $2 billion a year, let's get into the bigger $100 billion space of actually adding value to this. In other words, creating fluorochemicals. So we see Sepfluor, which is going to list on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange before March 28, 2013, because they have to, because of the Sepalco unbundling, they have to list before that time. They are now working on a mine just 80 kilometers north of Pretoria. I went and walked their pay dirt there, the rocks that contain. And then 50 kilometers away, they want to actually build up a chemicals hub in Ekindustria. So we know that the state in South Africa has been actually creating added value from fluorspar for some time. At Pelchem, the state-owned Pelchem, has been producing hydrogen fluoride, which they use also for their own medical businesses. But now we see that South Africans are finding that the uses and the derivatives of this fluorspar that we've got in our ground is so widespread. You know, they've traveled to the chemical hubs in Germany and they've seen the potential, even in antiretroviral medicines, HIV, HIV and AIDS, they use fluorine. So they're quite anxious to get moving on this, and they've gone to all the developmental institutions, are raising the 2.1 billion rand initial capital. And when they go to the JSE, they might even not capital raise, because by that stage they might have set up the foundations of the business.
Wow. Just so much information there. An Australian company now, Martin, is preparing to mine phosphates off Namibia's ocean floor.
Yeah, you know, we think of mining's hard enough on land. Now you want to go and mine the sea. But they give us the reverse story here. You know, the Namibian marine phosphates, which is the shareholders are mainly Australian mine makers listed on the ASX in Australia, and also UCL Resources with a 15% Namibian shareholding. They say, no, it's much easier to do it at the sea because you don't have to sink any shaft. And it's not like an open cost mine where you've got overburden. You've got to remove all the overburden before you get to the ore body. You know, they're going to have a dredger that will trail an arm behind it, stir up this very loose, unconsolidated phosphate. And we know how important phosphate is in the world at the moment. I mean, you know, we've got food security issues. You need that phosphate. You need it for the fertilizers. Our bones develop from this. It's absolutely essential ingredient. And they are saying they can suck this up, you know, using the normal dredging methods and sort of semi-process it on the ship and then do further processing on shore. And they're talking about also beneficiating to phos acid and things like that. Of course, they've got to get over some of the environmental hurdles. But we know that De Beers has been mining those seas for diamonds for some time. And these fellas say they will be less harsh on the environment because they won't actually mine to bedrock. They will leave a sediment so that the ocean life can continue that habitat. But environmentalists are pressurizing them at the moment, particularly the lobby group Swakopmund Matters. They are making sure they're getting all the answers and they've got to go through the environmental hurdles. But in the meantime, they're looking at an initial investment of $326 million dollars US into this at a time when, you know, the phosphate price is around $145 per ton to $200 per ton, but depending on the quality. So quite a strong price for phosphates because the world knows this is linked directly to food. Food is a security issue. And the Australians moving in, of course, ahead of the South Africans, but behind it all, and you normally find that with the Australian companies, will be a South African. And the head of you know, Bonaparte, which was the original company that started to look at phosphate mining in Namibia and on the ocean floor, is Mike Whitburn, of course, a South African who had the original idea.
Somebody once said that if you go to some of these companies' board meetings, you find people speaking in Afrikaans in Australia.
That's true.
Anyway, US legislators have visited Sasol's mines in South Africa to view new life-saving technology for dangerous underground mines.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, we have so many deaths and injuries in our mines that, you know, it's good that some solid work is being done on life-saving technology. And it was Sasol Mining that actually realized that they have so many people knocked over by shuttle cars in underground mines that they put out a specification and said, how can we make this more safe? Mm. And so now they've got this new people-to-vehicle proximity detection technology that actually stops the shuttle cars in their tracks if they're moving too close to personnel. And this has already had a major impact to such an extent that US legislators have come out to Sasol Mining's operations to have a look at this, because they are intent on enforcing this by law in mines in the United States. And in fact, I think our own Department of Mineral Resources is also now looking at possibly enforcing this by law. So we didn't have anyone here who could actually do the technology exercise. So they put out the spec, and a small US company did the initial work to make sure that, you know, if these shuttle cars are moving and they're going to hit someone over, they actually automatically stop because of an electromagnetic field that they put out, and it's linked to the miner's cap lamp.
All right.
And then it just stops the vehicle in its tracks. And this small company actually has sold to a bigger company, Strata. And again, I say there's always a South African behind this, because behind the Strata company is a South African who's been living in America for 20 years. And now he is lobbying, of course, for U.S. legislators to legislate this in the United States, which will have a big impact on the market because there'll be such a huge demand. And if it happens here as well, you know, it'll also be quite big business for this company. I see one of the gold companies, Anglo Gold Ashanti, is already rolling out 600 of these units that stop these moving vehicles from hitting anyone over underground. And Sasol Mining itself, of course, it's spending 14 billion rand at the moment, not on growth in the Secunda area, because it won't grow its mining in the Secunda. It's taken that decision, but to replace mines. So you can see big replacement coming through. And Susan Shabunga, the Minister of Mineral Resources, was out there opening a new 3.5 billion rand replacement shaft. And there are going to be two more coming up in Sasol. But the growth for Sasol in the future will be in Waterberg, where they've applied for a mining license. And hopefully they will go ahead with more fuel from coal operations, because it saves us a lot in foreign exchange. We don't have to import that crude oil because of what they supply. But they're saying they're marking time still until the government comes through with a regulatory framework around carbon capture and storage, and also carbon tax, which is holding things up at the moment.
But that Waterberg region, of course, is also the region where government has announced quite a lot of investment in infrastructure.
And they're waiting for water infrastructure and transport infrastructure as well.
Fabulous. All right, then, Martin Creamer, thank you very much once again. Martin Creamer is publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. He'll be back with us at the Coalface at the same time next Friday. You have a good week ahead, Martin.
And you, Kulani.